This podcast contains explicit content and polarizing opinions. Listener discretion is advised. You have been warned.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Dead Behind the Eyes, a podcast where we look at current news stories, past news stories, historical events, and whatever tickles our fancy in between. Today, we're going to look into a cold case of Lily Ann Prendergast, whose remains were found on the side of Interstate 5 in Sacramento, but police were never able to identify her body until now. Lily Ann, 26, from Dallas, Texas, was found nearly a year after being reported missing on October 27, 1981, after an argument with her parents where she ran away. She was known to hitchhike, and it's presumed that she hitchhiked from nearby her home. However, it was not clear how she ended up in Sacramento. The remains were reported to be found next to Interstate 5, 1.7 miles south of Freeport Boulevard, and 2.5 miles south of Pocket Road in Sacramento. The remains that were found had nearly completely decomposed, and the remains were classed as skeletal. At the scene, she was found nearly naked, only wearing some red underwear. Some clothing and a shoe were found in the vicinity. Because of this classification, no fingerprints were able to be lifted from the corpse. Detectives were able to get some identifiers from her teeth, though. Her teeth were in good repair, apart from heavy nicotine stains, which detectives deduced that she must have smoked. She had four fillings on her bottom teeth, and her front left incisor overlapped a premolar. Later investigation of the bones found that she had a hole in her sternum bone, which she could have been born with or later developed. At the time, detectives were only able to identify the woman as being between the ages of 25 and 35. One distinguishing feature they were able to identify was a tattoo that she had on her lower right buttock. The tattoo was of a small red flower with green leaves and a stem. The cause of death couldn't be determined, but it was classified as a cold case homicide. Through the years, detectives have been trying desperately to identify the Jane Doe. Facial reconstructions, sketches, and large media coverage all came up empty. One piece of evidence that was heavily reported of was the cocktail glass-shaped tie tack or tie pin that was found underneath her body. However, nothing came of it, and the case became cold and was just filed away. She remained unidentified until 2019, when her brother, William Prendergast, gave a sample of his DNA to the FBI. William's DNA came back as a 100% match to a cold case in Sacramento in 1981. Through familial DNA testing, they were able to identify the 38-year-old Jane Doe as Lily Ann Prendergast. Familial DNA testing, if you're not familiar with the term, is when, instead of getting a straight match to a specific person, her profile is made and can be tested for a match against relatives. I can't find much about this case when it happened, so I can only speculate on what was reported. The thing that I can't seem to get my head around is the journey that she would have taken hitchhiking. That journey from Dallas to Sacramento is 26 hours straight drive. If you take into consideration current rules on how long a trucker can drive, which is most likely who Lily Ann hitchhiked with, it would have taken 2 days. That's her staying with the same driver the whole way. would have stopped, ate with him, slept with him or her. I think it's most likely she probably hitchhiked with multiple truckers. I would say probably truckers, because not a lot of people do the long journeys, are just doing the long journey. It's not like from town to town. So I reckon she probably hitchhiked with a trucker from buy a house in Dallas to either Albuquerque, Phoenix or Denver. From either Albuquerque or Phoenix, she then would have got a ride to either San Diego, Los Angeles or Las Vegas. For me, LA and Vegas is most likely, as they're both big cities, and a young woman who's sort of running away from home would get attracted to those sort of places and they'd be very appealing to her. From either them, then most likely she would have gone to San Francisco, where I think it's more likely that something happened in San Francisco and then was taken to Sacramento to be dumped. If, however, though, she went north to Denver, I think it's most likely she then would have hitched to Salt Lake City, then across to Sacramento. With all the routes that I've mentioned, they would have all been easily to be done in a trucker's time allowed for driving each day. For me, the most likely route would have been Dallas to Albuquerque, then from there to Los Angeles, then straight up to San Fran. I don't believe it was probably done as one continuous journey, definitely stopping along the way, with most of her time, I reckon, was spent in LA. I have no evidence to back up like any of my theories, but how prolific the Golden State Killer was in San Fran and Los Angeles under the name of the original Night Stalker, I don't think it would be a far reach to think that Lillian could have been one of his victims. The Sacramento County's Sheriff's Office is still investigating this case, and the case remains open to this day. If anyone has any information regarding Lillian's disappearance or death, they can contact the Sacramento County Sheriff's Office at 916-874-TIPS. That's 916-874-8477. Or visit www.sacsheriff.com. That's www.sacsheriff.com to submit a tip. You can also contact Sacramento Valley Crime Stoppers to safely and anonymously submit a tip on 916-443-4357. That's 916-443-4357, or go to sacvalleycrimestoppers.com, that's sacvalleycrimestoppers.com, to submit your tip. Thank you all for listening to this episode of Dead Behind the Eyes. I know this has been a short one, but I just wanted to give this one a little go. Like, it's not quite an in-depth one, it's just this case didn't have a lot of information on it, and I know it's just coming to the news because they've just managed to identify Lillian as the victim. Trying to give it a little bit of a kickstart. I know I'm over in the UK, so it might not reach as many people as it could do in the US, but maybe somebody just looking up the name, trying to see if there's anything more about, might listen to this, and I hope it can give some information. This episode was hosted, produced and written by William Robbins. Music by Adam Vitovsky and Darren Curtis. And please join us next time for a new episode of Dead Behind the Eyes.